January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate. So therefore, that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to be solved here.
Taking care of the kids that are part of that dreamer population, I think that we can solve that and allow them to have the American opportunity, American dream. But we also have to secure the border. And if you limit it to those 2 items alone, I think there is a solution that can be forged together here.
The Justice Department today announced indictments on 13 Russian nationals and a trio of Russian entities on charges related to the Kremlin's effort to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
In theaters now from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
And with a look at things going on around the world, here is USA Radio Network's UN correspondent, Luke Vargas.
An economic assessment by Smith College professor Andrew Zimbalist finds South Korea spent roughly $13 billion to host the ongoing Winter Olympics, but will generate less than $3 billion in short-term revenue. South Korea's government optimistically says hosting the Games will draw in at least $18 billion in revenue in the coming years. But Zimbalist is skeptical, saying meager ticket sales show the challenge of turning Pyeongchang into a popular international resort town. Reuters reports up to 100 Russian mercenaries may have been killed in eastern Syria last week after the U.S. responded with force to an assault on allied Kurdish fighters. In a pattern seen in eastern Ukraine, Russian mercenaries are said to be taking on an increased role across Syria. By relying on contractors instead of uniformed personnel, Russia's government is not required to report on death tolls or injuries. And Germany's foreign minister is asking the U.S. to step up its participation in transatlantic security by doing more than funding its military. The complaint that certain German allies have rolled back spending on diplomacy in the U.N. comes days after President Trump's proposed budget spelled out steep cuts at the State Department, U.N., and USAID. But Ursula von der Leyen did propose a compromise, saying Germany would increase its military spending and push others in Europe to do so if the U.S. remained diplomatically engaged. We'll see if that message reaches Washington.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking cybersecurity with Tom Kelly. Then attorney John Mayer will give us a call to action to free some wrongfully imprisoned combat troops. And Chaplain Steve Hookema will discuss selecting chaplains. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to discuss cybersecurity. Tom Kelly's the president and CEO of ID Experts. He's a Silicon Valley serial entrepreneur, particularly in software companies. And he's a guy that loves America. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Tom.
Thanks, Denny.
Tom, I understand that you could have been in the Army. You were registered during the draft period, but they didn't call your number. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I entered the lottery system, which all of us, well, many of us did, and some of us chose other routes, but I entered it and I remember I had a number, I think it was 158 or something. It was right at the tail end of the Vietnam War. And the numbers got up to 140, 145, whatever it was. But it did not reach me. And while I was 1A at the time, you know, it didn't get to me. My father, I don't know if he was happy or sad. He might have been happy that it didn't get to me, but not. He was a sergeant in the Battle of the Bulge. And so in our family, we do have, the history of military service in our family. And we're very proud of those who have served in the family.
Well, you're in a battlefield right now. That's why we're having this conversation, cybersecurity. I invited you to talk about that because I know nothing about it. I'm a non-geek, but I do know it's vitally important to both the military and civilian worlds and personally. So I want you to give us an idea of what it is and what we can do about it. So sort of give us cybersecurity 101, will you?
Absolutely. And I took a long route getting here. I took a route getting to this point where I feel comfortable to have this dialogue. I've been in the Silicon Valley working in the technology field for over 30 years, and companies like Cadence Design Systems, where we're electronic design automation software for designing integrated circuits, to semiconductor companies, to a host of data providers, companies that provided data services around the world. And providing my data services, running data centers, is where I had an introduction to cyber and security measures, because we were protecting vast amounts of data. Granted, this was in the earlier stages of what we call to be our cyber war today, but it was my introduction to understanding how complex and difficult it is to really secure data and make sure if you're going to make it usable, means you have to have access to it, but at the same time, keep it safe. Make sure only those you want to have access get to it. And I have moved into the front lines of the cyber world about 4 years ago, working what I call frontline selling products, delivering services in the cyber area after years of consuming them and understanding the need how to deploy in our companies. And so today, the cyber world, the threats, I mean, we read it in the paper, you hear about breaches, you hear about the federal government, you hear about the Pentagon getting breached, you hear about the federal government getting breached over and over again, but also you hear about Equifax, Alteryx, you hear about weaknesses and vulnerabilities in certain semiconductor chips from Intel. I mean, this is a nonstop barrage of cyber incidents. Literally, I get a feed every day of breaches around the world. There's not a day that goes by that I do not get some indication of a breach that has occurred somewhere in the world, and often, most often, in the United States as well. And so they affect our government security. They affect the protection of intellectual property for companies. And by golly, they affect all of us, protecting our personal information, our financial assets, our legal background, our reputations, all of that.
So this is something that, at the national level, no surprise, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, everybody's are trying to break into us, and frankly, we're trying to break into them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that they're trying to get into us, and while no one's talking to me about what we might be doing to them on a what I call a confidential level, I am certain that we must be doing something in response to both protect and to assert our claims elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, that's sort of a given. I would be horrified if it weren't true. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing cybersecurity with Tom Kelly. Okay, so at the national level, almost everybody can understand it. We send spies, they send spies, blah, blah, blah. But that same thing not only can, but sometimes would be targeted at things like companies, industry, manufacturing, that sort of thing. And there's no reason why it has to stop there. It can't come to us personally, too, right?
And, you know, the state actors, when we talk about the cyber world and we talk about, you know, the Russians, the Iranians, North Koreans, we can go down the list. They not only target national assets, or I should say government information, government secrets, and military and other information, but they also, these actors have been known to go after financial institutions, to look to disrupt economic activity, to also do it for profit. There's some suspicions of some of the attacks into the cryptocurrencies. The most common one that everyone knows about is Bitcoin. But there's some belief that that's also state actors that are going in to try to disrupt that and actually take currency, take cryptocurrency that they can utilize for funding whatever they choose to fund. So the state actors are in a broad array, and they're skilled. They're very, very skilled. But when it comes to your listeners, to you and I like to say there was a time where if you went on vacation and you came home and the front door is open, your TV's gone, you know something bad has happened, okay? But it's not as evident as that any longer. We have all these devices that we use nonstop that we're connecting to the Internet, all kinds of intelligent devices that are in our homes. Heck, Alexa. I mean, there's probably a lot of your listeners or some of your listeners might have a pretty strong personal relationship with a little black box called Alexa that they're talking to all day long. And or not all day long, but on and off, that is in the process of gathering information. All these devices assemble information about us. We share information on our calendars, our financial activities, everything through the Internet. And that information is available, if it's not properly protected, to be used illegally or to disrupt our lives.
And it doesn't have to be a state actor. It can be a local criminal. It could be a criminal gang. So
I had an incident in my career, and I can't talk about the names of the companies, but it was one of our very large technology companies got hacked. And it turns out it was a 15-year-old kid down in Alabama, okay? That's what it was. And, you know, and I remember there was a massive call with all the some senior folks, and I said, well, did anybody think of calling his mother and ask him to go upstairs and turn the computer off? You know?
Okay, Tom, what do we do about it? What can the average citizen do, whether business owner or what can we do?
This is what I would recommend. First of all, there's things called what I call just good cyber hygiene. And so what would that be? Be cautious about how you create your passwords. We use passwords in almost everything we're doing. We're logging into financial accounts. You go to buy something online, and sometimes you're creating an account to buy it online. Be cautious about the passwords you use. Don't use things like your dog's name, your street address, your children's name. Don't use the same password over and over again. You need to, in fact, mix them up in a way that gives some level of security. Make sure they're sufficiently complex. And there are methods you can go online and search for what's the good way to create passwords that will take a little too long. But the passwords should have a mix of characters and numbers and things that just would make it difficult for a computer algorithm to break it that easily. So that's one thing. You should change your passwords on a regular basis. You know, there's a lot of different opinions, and there's a practical aspect of this. But if you've got a password you've been using for the last 5 years, you might want to think about changing that one. And changing it to things, you know, don't be storing them online. There are password vaults and products you can get. But, you know, putting them in a very secure, non-online place is a good place, not under the drawer of your desk, which is where a lot of people put things you look right away. But an intelligent person, just think through that, you'll be able to come to that. Secondly, be cautious about the kinds of things you do in public internets. If you go into Starbucks or one of the coffee houses and log into their free network there, be cautious about conducting business there. You can do some emails, search for that, do this and that. But if you're going to transact something there, you're going to take money out of an account, you're going to do that, you're pushing credit card information across, I would typically just be careful about that. I'm not saying that you're in dire danger there, but it's a less secure environment because you're sitting in a public place and it's just less secure. The other things, you get the emails, the phishing emails, where it comes from your bank, it appears to come from your bank with the bank logo and all that, asking you to log on. Take a look at where that email is, and you're going to probably find some unusual email that ends in .edu or something else. No relationship to the financial institution. Somebody sends you an attachment. Be very careful about opening any attachments. Very careful. That's the source of a lot of malware and a lot of activity that gets into your account. And so that's the kind of stuff you would do. You can reach me if you have further questions at myidcare.com, myidcare.com. You can reach me and call ID experts, and I can give you a whole lot of more information on exactly what to do to protect yourself.
And if you can't remember that, contact me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and I'll hook you up with Tom. Tom,
and thank you very much, everybody, for your service. I can't tell you how much I and my family appreciate what you do and have done for us.
Tom, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your insights. I appreciate you, friend.
Okay. Take care.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll talk freeing wrongfully imprisoned combat vets. Then you're going to learn about how chaplains are selected. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Hit the deck right now and do an easy, slow 35 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you to lean in mean. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Want an easy way to brighten up your day? Get beautiful new window fashions from the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America, Budget Blinds. It's easy because Budget Blinds does it all for you with style and service for every budget. We're your neighborhood experts, and we bring the showroom right to your home, then expertly measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. Right now, we make it easier than ever with savings up to $500 on select window coverings. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. See for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Call and get savings up to $500. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. Brighten up your day the easy way. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunter and County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time to discuss one of the major disasters in our military system, the imprisoning of soldiers who did their jobs properly in combat but were incorrectly charged with crimes. Joining us again is Lieutenant Colonel John Mayer, U.S. Army Reserve Judge Advocate General, who has served on active duty and has served in the wars over there. So welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, Danny. It's great to be here.
John, I've asked you to return to the show to put forth a call to action. President Trump has made it clear that he's going to do away with all the former inappropriate rules of engagement and over-control of troops in combat. So this is the time for all citizens to get involved and help free those who deserve to be free. Not saying everybody who's in jail is wrongly there. I don't mean that at all. But that's our goal. So, John, start with a quick overview of your military service. You've been a JAG your entire military service, haven't you?
Yes, sir. 21, going on 22 years. I was directly out of law school. I was in the 1st Infantry Division as a prosecutor in Germany, and then down in the Balkans as part of a United Nations peacekeeping mission, PCS to Washington, D.C., and took up the defense work at the Army Court of Criminal Appeals. Became a civilian on September 6, 2001, walked across the river to become a Justice Department lawyer, and we were attacked a couple of days later. Thankfully, I was still on transition leave and stayed reserve ever since. Since then, I've gone to CGSC and the Army War College, two tours in Afghanistan, one with the Defense Intelligence Agency, and then several billets throughout the different reserve components in Maryland, in Illinois, and Missouri. Presently, I'm a lieutenant colonel in the reserve, and I don't do too much anymore as I'm now in the IRR.
Okay. And folks, if you don't know, IRR stands for the Immediate Ready Reserve, which means they can call him up if they want him, but he doesn't have to do anything, and they don't have to pay him. Is that a fair sum, John?
It is. I'll sign off on that one.
Okay. Clint Lawrence is probably the classic case that we're going to talk about, a guy who did his job in combat and is in military prison for doing it. And there's about 10 other cases like that, too, I think. So talk us through the situation.
Lieutenant Lawrence was a platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne Division. He was in a combat patrol in the Zaire district of Kandahar province on July 2nd, 2012. It was the second day he was in command. He took over for the previous platoon leader who had been wounded in action, suffering peppering shrapnel wounds to the face, neck, eyes, and abdomen. Clint, on the second patrol, he was leading his platoon in a single-file route of march behind a minesweeper. Like most platoon leaders, he positioned himself somewhere in the middle to leave their strong point and conduct a presence patrol into a nearby village of mud huts in a very rural area of Kandahar province. PFC Skelton was on top of a great berm, and the patrol was required to navigate up and down the 6 to 8 foot great berms. He saw three riders on a single motorcycle approaching at an excessive rate of speed, fired but missed. Lieutenant Lawrence was immediately below PFC Skelton. As most lieutenants do, he never fired his weapon, but instead he worked his radio, and he radioed two gun trucks, one of which opened fire with an M240 Bravo, shot and killed two of the riders, and a third escaped. Because of that action there, the Army prosecuted and convicted Lieutenant Lawrence of violating the rules of engagement, as well as killing innocent civilians. However, post-trial, during our investigation, we learned that PFC Skelton not only testified at trial that he perceived the threat and was entitled to fire his weapon, pursuant to the ROE, but that they weren't innocent civilians, even though the platoon thought they recognized them later on as they egressed back to base, that they were village elders and or a village elder. We have biometric evidence now indicating that those riders left their fingerprints on bombs. So in other words, biometrically linked to bombs that went off at grid coordinates that were either diffused or exploded, which makes them terrorists, which means they cannot be innocent civilians, which means that evidence should have been heard at trial, and it should have been heard by the commanding general before the case was referred to trial, and it should have been heard on appeal. So we find ourselves now still facing that challenge in terms of transitioning from the direct appeal, which is the Army Court of Criminal Appeals and the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. Now we file in federal district court under a collateral appeal in the civilian side of things called habeas corpus.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking about the miscarriage of justice and the victim, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence.
We're talking with attorney and Army JAG John Mayer. Is the presumption that we can't shoot until we know for 100% sure that every single person in the impact area is enemy? That's sort of a presumption that apparently they were working under, right?
Well, yes and no, Denny. The rules of engagement at the time required that there be either an action of hostile intent or a hostile act on the part of a local national. And PFC Skelton, who fired his weapon at the three riders on the single motorcycle, testified at trial unequivocally that pursuant to his hasty ROE assessment, he was entitled to protect himself and to protect his platoon. Lieutenant Lawrence relied on that and actually got on the radio, and then the fatal shots rang out 5 to 10 seconds later. The Army argued that the biometric evidence that was subsequently discovered was irrelevant because Lieutenant Lawrence didn't know that at the time. But your point is very well taken. ROE compliant shots by PFC Skelton, coupled with Lieutenant Lawrence's order seconds later, with the fatal shots ringing out 5 to 10 seconds later, means you have a completely ROE compliant shot group. Then you add in the fact that those killed were the actual enemy, and there can be no murder under any semblance of the law.
You know, my combat was in Vietnam, but I was a rifle platoon leader and rifle company commander in some very, very heavy fighting. And I had no hesitation that my first criteria, when in doubt, I protect my troops. I wanted to bring them all home. That doesn't mean recklessly doing things. But when somebody acts in a way that in the previously has caused death to me or people like me, I don't have any hesitation to shoot. Then to say the fact that he didn't know, well, nonetheless, it did work out right. The instincts were right. They were bad guys. John, there's at least 9 other guys in various situations, something like this. And you and I happen to both be affiliated with the United American Patriots. And they are the ones that are sort of carrying this fight. And they are the ones through whom people can join the fight. Talk to us about that.
Yes, sir. United American Patriots is a 501c3 nonprofit organization with a very narrow but unique and important mission. And that is to provide resources to defend military personnel accused of crime in combat. And that narrow mission statement has been expanded recently to include clear evidence of unlawful command influence. The organization was started by Major Donahue about 12 years ago when the Haditha Marines were portrayed on television. And the idea was to try and provide the best amount of defense. If people are interested in learning more, they could visit the UAP website where the director's biographies are online. And they could also offer their support in the form of a presidential pardon that's up right now for Lieutenant Lawrence. And if they'd like to learn even more information, all of our court papers have been published at freeclintlawrence.com. And there's also an option there where you can click and complete a petition that would go to the White House's address for purposes of asking the president to pardon Clint Lawrence. The idea being that the president ran on a platform of reversing the failed policies of the previous administration. And if this case were ever to get in front of President Trump, we're hopeful that he would see the merit in reversing this failed policy of the previous administration in short order.
So, folks, we can talk about how horrible it is that a guy on his second day of combat did what he was supposed to do and is now in jail. He's a convicted felon. Or we can do something about it. And what's the website?
UnitedAmericanPatriots.org.
Folks, so the website, UnitedAmericanPatriots.org. I ask you to join me in working to free Clint Lawrence. John, thank you for taking time to join us today. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your service to our nation, but thank you for what you're doing now, because I know you're going above and beyond the call of duty to bring justice to some really good people.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be part of it.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk getting military chaplains with Chaplain Steve Hochma. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops do 150 jumping jacks, then take a break and do 50 more, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. In accordance with the U.S. flag code, all Spartan Nash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and/or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day in 2015.
It's part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families.
To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and, most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, you want to try one out? Let us know what you think. Hey, it's a pillow. But I tried it. What have you got to lose? Tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know you need MyPillow. Well, not MyPillow, but your own MyPillow. See, it stays cool all night, keeps its shape, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't like it? Return it. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that has a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow in your washer, dryer, and it's like new again. Try doing that with your dollar store pillow and see what happens. And by the way, it's made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and use promo code USA.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation in uniform, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show a fellow retired Army Lieutenant Colonel. And, you know, Lieutenant Colonels are so awesome people. You just know he's got to be a great guy. Steve Hocana is a retired chaplain, and he's still involved in finding chaplains for his denomination. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Steve.
Benny, thank you for welcoming me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Steve, talk to us about how you became a chaplain. Did you grow up knowing you wanted to be in the military, or did you grow up knowing you wanted to be a pastor? And then whenever it was you decided, how does one go about that?
Well, I didn't even know what a chaplain was when I was a little boy. And one day I went over to a friend of mine's house, and it's got one of these little fish symbols, you know, those ancient Christian symbols for Christianity on his door. And I said, hey, what's up with that? And he says, well, my dad's a chaplain. And I said, well, what's a chaplain? And he says, they serve God and they serve their country. And to me, that was the greatest thing in the world, that you can do both. I said, you could do both, serve God and your country? Where do I sign up? You know, and at that time, I was only about 11 or 12 years old. So that's the first time the seed was planted to become a military chaplain. And then later, you know, when you go through 4 years of college, you go to the seminary, you spend your time in the seminary. And then after 2 years as a parish pastor, then the Department of Defense will take a look at you and say, hey, we'd like you to be a pastor in the military, a military chaplain.
Okay, but does the Department of Defense is out looking at pastors, or do they work through denominations?
they do work through denominations. We work hand in glove with them. The Department of Defense and the civilian churches throughout the United States, synagogues, mosques, they work with them. Because what the United States military is trying to do is trying to mirror the fabric of our own country. So whatever the proportion in America is of Catholics, Protestants, in my case, Lutherans, those of the Jewish faith, Muslims, so on, that's the proportionality that they want in the United States military.
Okay. So I would presume quotas are put out. You are pretty much in leadership in your denomination for working with picking chaplains, aren't you?
We are. You know, we're not looking for particular quotas. We're looking for good quality. We're looking for pastors who have the ability to go out, and they can be a chaplain to any man or woman in their unit, regardless of their faith and their persuasion. One of the cornerstones of military ministry and doctrine is, and this is the Army doctrine, but it's also true in the Air Force and Marine Corps and the Navy, it's called perform or provide. So if a soldier comes to me and I can perform what they need, counseling, prayer, a prayer breakfast, any type of ministry, I would do that. But if they come to me for a specific need and they say, like, chaplain, you know, I'm of the Jewish faith and I'd like to get married by a rabbi, or I'm of the Catholic faith and I'd like to have our child baptized into the Catholic Church, what I would do is I would provide for them a religious person that would meet their needs, be it a priest or a rabbi or an imam. So we've been doing that. That's been time tested and it's worked for hundreds of years.
That makes sense. If I were a young seminary graduate, pastor in your organization, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I suddenly decided military chaplaincy would be right for me, what would I do?
Well, we'd certainly like to get your name. We'd like you to give us a call. You can also call any of the chaplain recruiters of the different branches of service and make inquiries with them. But again, the way it works in the United States military is you have to be endorsed. So you have to have a church body, a religious organization that says, yes, that man, that woman represents our faith, and we will bring them in. And so what happens is, in the case of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we do extensive interviews. We ask for references and resources, and then we talk to them. We even talk to the spouse to see and make sure that the spouse is on board with this. Because, again, when you become a chaplain in the military, you know, you're pretty much on your own, and you are there to serve. And if you're not a happy chappy, nobody wants you around.
You know, having been a consumer of happy and unhappy chappies, you are quite correct. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking military chaplaincy with retired chaplain Steve Hocana. So, Steve, you've covered that. One thing I have heard, and I believe, at least in World War II, that the most dangerous branch of the military to be in was the chaplaincy, that they had a higher percentage of people killed in action than anyone else. I guess because chaplains in a combat situation go where they're needed, which is hurt people, right?
That's right. Yeah, you go to the sounds of the gunfire. And in many respects, you're like a medic. You know, you don't run from the battle area, you run to the battle area. But one of the things, too, is just as a matter of sensitivity. You know, the 8th Air Force, their casualty rate was just off the chart. Second lieutenants, as you know, in the infantry, again, the casualties were so high. And you know from your history, too, Denny, like in the Battle of the Bulge, replacement soldiers' lifetime was measured in minutes. They figured you lived about 7 minutes if you were a replacement soldier, like in the Battle of the Bulge. So, you know, I just let you know I'm sensitive about that we have the highest casualty rate, but I'd like your audience to consider that we are non-combatants. We do not carry a weapon. We have nothing to do with weapons. That's an American custom. That's not shared across the board with other chaplains from other forces. But we are non-weapon carriers because our purpose is to cradle and love those that are wounded, injured, and dying. And that's what we do. And because of that, we're non-weapon carriers. And so that's what would cause our casualty rate to somewhat spike and become higher than others.
Okay. Now, I want you to get very specific about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Sure.
Talk about how you work with your chaplains. What kinds of things you do?
Well, we do a couple of things. First of all, as you could tell, we tell the military ministry story. We believe that it's the Holy Spirit that does the recruiting. But a lot of young men now don't know what a chaplain is. They didn't grow up with Father Mulcahy on MASH. A lot of them didn't serve time in the military, these young pastors, so they don't know. So just number one, we get the word out to as many of our pastors as we can about what a chaplain is, what a chaplain does. The second thing that we do is follow through the extensive interview process. We take care of our chaplains. So what we do is at least twice a year, we provide training for our chaplains. They have to go to one of the training events where they get a chance to be refreshed and nourished again on God's word and strengthened and know that their church, the 2.1 million member church body, loves them so very dearly. We want them to be connected with us. Because when they came into the DOD said, hey, we brought you into the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod clergy. We don't want you to be anybody else. And so we're there to nurture and care for them, and not only the chaplain, but also for his family as well. The other piece that we do for our chaplain specifically is we send them periodic updates, literature. We're in constant communication with them. We do denominational visits as well, and this is where what we will do is we will travel to where they're assigned, whether it's an Air Force Base, Army, Marine, Navy, Coast Guard, and we will do what's called an endorser visit, and we will visit with them and their commander, and they're really affirming, and they're visits that are well-loved by everybody because we're not there to cause any problems. We're there to affirm and encourage, also to inquire with commanders about what they would like to see in a chaplain, and they typically tell us that we want a chaplain just like that Missouri Synod guy I got right there, and they always point to their chaplain. And then one of the other things, too, that we do is when their time of service comes to an end, where God has called them out, they reach retirement age, for whatever reason, we do everything we can to find them a congregation or a parish for them to come back to. And so it is a ministry of continual care with Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Department of Ministry to the Armed Forces. So I have a boss. I'm the assistant. My supervisor is a retired Navy chaplain and chaplain Captain Craig Mueller, so retired 06. And so we look at things also strategically. We want to know, what is our country saying about the role of chaplains? Is our freedom of religion still a powerful, viable aspect of our Constitution, and is it followed in the DOD? And the answer is yes. But if any of our chaplains get any kind of a blowback or a problem, all I got to do is contact us, and we'll make sure that the freedom of religion still applies to that chaplain. So we do a number of things, and we're very proud of what we do. And I would say that if you have men and women in your listening audience that are prayerful people, I ask that they continue to pray that we send good chaplains into the military.
Wow. Amen. Steve, if listeners have questions, how could they reach you?
Well, they can always email me. They can also email you, Denny, if you want to send them to me.
Sure.
So, yeah, absolutely. They can email me anytime. My email address is stephen.hokana, H-O-K-A-N-A, at LCMS, that's my church body, .org. So stephen.hokana at lcms.org. And I'll do everything I can to respond.
Steve, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for helping soldiers be as close to their Lord as they want to be. I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillen. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 75 pounds by now. And do 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
They were outnumbered.
Ready.
Out-equipped.
Aim.
They had no chance of winning. Fire. But they had one huge advantage. General George Washington.
George. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army. We have to resolve to conquer or die.
Just as the leadership of one man helped form a nation, today leadership can transform the world. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Ben wrote, I just wanted to say thanks for acknowledging the subversive communist and Islamist groups operating throughout our country and inside our government. Spreading awareness about these groups is incredibly important. Hopefully, the U.S. will designate the Muslim Brotherhood and Council on American and Islamic Relations as terrorist organizations soon. It seems that the general public is completely unaware of what is happening as far as these groups are concerned. Then he attached two links to documentaries that are on this topic.
Well, thanks, Ben. We certainly see the danger out there, and troops, I'll put the links Ben included in our next e-newsletter. If you're not getting our twice-monthly letter, you can sign up for it on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com.
Mary wrote that she appreciated the interview with the doctor who spoke about dealing with stress. He provided a link to get some more information. She used it and found it really good.
Great, Mary. Dr. Tony Cook is a real pro and does know what he's talking about, and he really cares about people. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was feeling pretty brave a couple of days ago, and that reminded me of my first jump out of an airplane. You see, I'm afraid of heights, so to get control of this fear, I volunteered for airborne school when I graduated from West Point. Airborne school was a 3-week course. The 100 or so troops in my class were divided into groups of 10 called sticks. A stick is composed of all the paratroopers who are going to jump out of a given door of an airplane. For whatever reason, I was made the leader of my stick. During the first 2 weeks of training, I had little to do as a stick leader except make sure all of my troops were in formation, and they always were. The third week was jump week. The C-123 aircraft we would jump from had two doors, one on each side of the aircraft. One stick would jump from each of them. As we approached the drop zone, we got a series of commands, the last of which was stand in the door. And the stick leader would then move to the door and get ready to jump. The rest of the stick would be right behind him. So who was the first one in the door? Yeah, me, the guy who's afraid of heights. I had to stand in the open door with my hands on the outside of the door and half of my lead foot outside the aircraft in a crouch and wait for the command to jump, which would be accompanied by a slap on the butt. I was going to be in the door like that for several minutes. I remember I was just plain terrified. I started telling myself it was okay. I was wearing a parachute. I was planning to jump out, so falling was no big deal. And after a minute or so, I started to relax a bit and enjoyed the view. Then I noticed someone falling under the airplane. That was weird. Then I noticed it was the guy who was the stick leader for the other stick on the other side of the airplane. I wondered why he'd been told to jump and I hadn't. So I turned around to ask, and the jump master had said jump and slapped me about 4 times. He was about ready to use his foot. I was frozen in the door. So I turned around and jumped. It was great. Airborne.
You know, Colonel, the military is full of things like that. Moments like that where, you know, you're jumping out of an airplane or a helicopter or hanging off a mountain. And it's like in the civilian world, I would never volunteer to do something like this. But when you do that, it's like it's okay. You survive. Well, most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
And it's all good.
It is. It's a great step forward. It certainly was for me. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 20 February 1942, during World War II, Lieutenant Edward O'Hare took off from the aircraft carrier Lexington in a raid against the Japanese position at Rabaul, and minutes later became America's first flying ace. Rabaul, a town at the very tip of New Britain, had been invaded in January by the Japanese and transformed into a huge airbase. The Japanese were now in striking position for the Solomon Islands, next on the agenda for expanding their ever-growing Pacific Empire. The Lexington was to destabilize the Japanese position on Rabaul with a bombing raid. As the Lexington left Bougainville for Rabaul, ship radar picked up Japanese bombers headed straight for the carrier. O'Hare and his team went into action, piloting F-4F Wildcats. In a mere 4 minutes, O'Hare shot down five Japanese G-4 M-1 Betty bombers, bringing a swift end to the Japanese attack and earning O'Hare the designation Ace, given to any pilot who had five or more downed enemy planes to his credit. O'Hare was awarded the Medal of Honor for his bravery and excellent aim.
And O'Hare Field is Chicago's main airport.
Oh, I didn't know that was named after him.
On 19 February 1945, during World War II, the Marines' invasion of Iwo Jima was launched. Iwo Jima was a barren Pacific island guarded by Japanese artillery, but for us, it was prime real estate on which we could build airfields to launch bombing raids against Japan, only 660 miles away. The Japanese, 21,000 strong, fortified the island above and below ground, including a network of caves. Underwater demolition teams, frogmen then, were dispatched just before the actual invasion. When the Japanese fired on the frogmen, they gave away their secret gun positions. As the Marines landed and made their way into the island, seven Japanese battalions opened fire on them. By evening, over 550 Marines were dead, over 1,800 were wounded. The capture of Mount Suribachi, the highest point on the island and the bastion of the Japanese defense, took four more days and many, many more casualties. When the American flag was finally raised on Iwo Jima, the memorable image was captured in a famous photograph that later won the Pulitzer Prize.
That is one battle I definitely would not have been in. That was a nasty one.
And the statue of that raising the flag is outside Marine Corps headquarters today, isn't it, Skip?
Yes. Yes. It's moving, too.
And that's military history for today. Skip, it's Armed America Report time. Lead us out, dude.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, more than eight decades of life experience have taught one woman how to survive. A young man who broke into her home didn't have such good fortune. When the teenager forcibly entered a Marion, Arkansas home and came towards the elderly resident in a threatening manner in the wee hours of the morning one Sunday, she fatally shot him. The shooting was under investigation, but no charges have been filed.
Thanks, Colonel. You know, Colonel, this is a recurring theme that we see, well, almost every week on Front Lines of Freedom. When you're reading your report, it seems like these young whippersnappers, they'll go ahead and they'll see one of us old codgers out there, either in our home, in our driveway, or, you know, downtown, and they look at us and go, hey, there's an easy mark. And then they attack us, and then we shoot them. So you'd think they would learn.
You know, the gun is a great equalizer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it certainly is.
There was a song once, a gun can make a strong man weak, a gun can make a weak man strong.
That's right. You know, I used to wonder, you know, why do the old folks, I mean, you know, basically, physically, we're the weakest in society. Why do we always win these fights? And we almost always do. And I think a lot of it has to do with that we're just being underestimated, you know, by young teenagers.
Well, it is always dumb to bring a knife to a gunfight.
Definitely.
Yeah. Or a fist or a baseball bat or a...
Anything but a gun?
Anything but a gun.
Well, this lady, she did fantastic. So our hats off to Marion, Arkansas. You know, she did a fantastic job. And of course, no charges have been filed, nor should they be filed against her.
These kind of situations just make it more and more clear that everyone, but particularly older folks, need to be armed and trained.
Without a doubt.
Thanks, Skip. Our book giveaway this week is B.A. Friedman's On Tactics. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put On Tactics in the subject line. Troops, remember, this month we're starting our film review. I'll be assigning you a film each month, and we'll give you a link to find it. And you're invited to email in your comments, and we'll review them on the last show of the month. And the last show of the month is next week. The movie for this month is The Last Man Standing. Find the link at the blog on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's about military people. Please do it. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Marine vet Brandon Coleman, who worked at the corrupt Phoenix VA and was a whistleblower, will tell us how things are different now in the VA. We'll also talk with General Dave Warner about the Officers Christian Fellowship. Then we'll review the movie we've been asking you to be watching, and we'll welcome your input to it. Then Army vet Jesse Brower will discuss both his business and his foundation for vets.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Do join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This report is brought to you by the American Egg Board and the Egg Nutrition Center. February is American Heart Month, a perfect time to examine your dietary choices and determine if you are making the right decisions for your heart. You may not think of eggs as part of a heart-healthy diet, but this nutrient powerhouse is a perfect pair to whole grains, vegetables, and other heart-healthy foods. Decades of research have demonstrated that healthy adults can enjoy eggs without impacting their risk of heart disease. In fact, a recent study suggests eating one egg a day may reduce risk of stroke by 12%. Dr. Tia M. Raines, Executive Director at the Egg Nutrition Center.
Everyone loves the taste and convenience of eggs, and they should feel good about eating them, too. One large egg has varying amounts of 13 essential vitamins and minerals and high-quality protein, all for 70 calories. And don't toss the yolk. It contains most of the egg's nutrients, including choline, which has been linked to brain health.
For more information on eggs and an overall heart-healthy diet, visit eggnutritioncenter.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The FBI acknowledged that some protocols were not followed after they obtained a tip in January that shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz had a potential of conducting a school shooting. Meanwhile, a former classmate of Cruz is coming out speaking about some of the things he did in his past school years.
I used to always hear stories about him throwing rocks through windows, pulling the fire alarm for fun. No one was really too close to him because it was always assumed that if this were to happen, it'd be him. Someone having the ability to instill that much terror in the people I love hurts.
The FBI said the caller had provided them with information about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, and disturbing social media posts in January. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney announced today that he will be running for a U.S. Senate seat being left vacant by retiring GOP Senator Orrin Hatch. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The fate of a bipartisan immigration bill hangs in the balance as yesterday the Senate rejected 4 different immigration bills. But where do we go from here? Congressman Tom Reed says it's all about compromise.
If this is going to be addressed, I think you're going to have kind of a middle ground type of bipartisan agreement. Now, I'm not very optimistic as to what I hear out of the Senate and anything coming out of the Senate. So therefore, that doesn't bode well for the future of solving this.
The congressman from New York then continues by talking about the 2 main issues that need to